Welcome to the Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Brewer.
Happy New Year to all our listeners. This is the first edition of the show for 2016. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in regards to many sports, including cricket in all forms, including the Big Bash and our local hero, Travis Head.
Well, he certainly has made a name for himself, scoring his first Big Bash century in a sensational way. I don't think I've ever seen an innings finish with as number of sixes in a row and to also score your century with a six and to win the game at the same time and follow it up with a couple of half centuries. So it was a sensational couple of weeks for him.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting to that last innings, the strikers, the SA strikers, needed something like 13 runs to win the game, and he needed 17 runs for his century. So who would have figured he would have achieved that on three balls?
Well, it was quite remarkable, and possibly partly as he has stated in an interview, that the strikers had got themselves into such a bad position that it was sort of, there was nothing to lose. I mean, they really looked as though they were going to lose not only the game, but with many overs to spare. And I think it probably was a sort of mental relief that, well, I might as well go for it because, as I've just said, there is nothing to lose, and it just all fell into place.
He has a bit of a local connection with the South Gawler Football Cricket Club, and his brother Ryan sort of plays down there as well. So we're adopting him as one of ours. So another one in the line, hopefully, of a Darren Lehman and Ryan Harris.
Yes, well, I think the potential's always been there. He has been an achiever since a very early age. He was picked in the South Australian National Championships at the age of 17, and finished up playing 18 under-19 one-day internationals, including the World Cup, and in fact won the National Championships Player of the Year for two seasons in a row. So he was always destined, I think, to make a name for himself on the scene, and then, of course, was selected to play for South Australia in the Sheffield Shield competition in 2011-12.
And, of course, he's gone on and got the captaincy at a young age. That's a big hurdle for him to cross on his career?
Well, it is. Personally, I think it's a responsibility that he probably didn't need. At the age of 22, attempting to establish himself not only in the South Australian side but at the national level, attracting the eye of selectors, I think it's a huge cross to bear at the age of 22 to be captain of a state side. An indication of that pressure probably is that in the history of Shield cricket, very few state sides have ever appointed someone at such a young age. That doesn't mean for a moment to say that he's not capable of being a captain and a very good captain at possibly a later age, but in trying to establish his own personal career, it's, I would have thought, something that it would have been better not to have done at this point.
Okay, but then again, he's brought a lot of excitement to South Australian in cricket in all three forms of the game. He got his first Sheffield Shield century, then he got the double ton in the one-day games, and then he followed up his first century in the Big Bash with a couple of 50s, so he is the flavour of the moment.
Oh, he certainly is, and I think it's rather fascinating that not taking into consideration his 114 in the state game, his 202 in the 50-over version and the 101 in the T20 and then the 50s have come where the responsibility, particularly in the T20 game, of captaincy isn't there. Mm-hmm. And whether that's just freed him up mentally or not, I don't know. I guess the big test is going to be for him when the Shield competition returns, just after this T20 thing's finished, and to see how he stands up in form then.
You know, of course, there's a lot of luck involved as well, because like he's gone out and he's hit the ball really well and got out for 23 or 17. a very good catch, whereas if it wasn't taken, he might have gone on for a big score. When he hit his 101 in the Big Bash, I believe he was dropped at 10 or something like that. So, you know, luck plays a little bit of part.
Oh, it does. I mean, when things are running for you, you know, they'll drop you. When things aren't running for you, you know, someone will take the screamer of a catch of a lifetime. And that's cricket. Unfortunately, unless you do get dropped, you know, one chance and you're out. So it's in many ways, it's a very cruel game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I suppose when you look back in history and you look at Don Bradman and the amount of chanceless innings he played for his centuries really stands the test of time when you look at a lot of modern day guys who have a little bit of luck.
Oh, absolutely true. And I mean, obviously, Bradman's statistics just put him apart and ahead of anybody by the length of the straight. I do believe, however, that modern day sport, and I include all sport in this, is somewhat more difficult to achieve success because of the huge technology involved, and that if I'm playing you in a game of, it doesn't matter whether it's baseball or cricket, I'll spend 2 weeks looking at all your performances on video and trying to analyse what you can do well and what you can't. And those things, of course, didn't occur back in the Bradman era, for instance. That's taking nothing away from his performance, but it does, I think, mean that you do need the preciseness of the analysis now makes life a bit more difficult.
And of course, with the Big Bash, I suppose there isn't as much time for the analysis because you've got to just get in there and hit the ball.
Well, you do. I think the very nature of it is that it is entertainment, it's colourful, it's fireworks, it's dancing groups, it's the whole razzmatazz. And the nature, the way in which it's been created is that with 11 players in a side and with 10 dismissals, unless you're going to, unless the bowler or the fielding team's going to get a wicket every second over, no side is ever going to be bowled out. It's going to be a matter of who can slog the most effectively and perhaps, dare I say, luckily. And it's also interesting, I think, that they've deliberately made the thing attractive by bringing the boundaries in to make the distance that sixes need to travel less than it would be in a first-class game. The whole thing is really entertainment.
And I've noticed that they call it the Big Bash. They don't call it so much 2020 cricket. And I'm just thinking a lot of the aspects of baseball has been involved. Things like the smaller area where the bowler has to get it to the batsman, like baseball have the strike zone. In baseball, of course, they celebrate the home run. How many home runs did the team hit, etc.? And we're getting that in the Big Bash. The sixes are very prominent. You know, there's been 235 sixes hit in the competition, so I can see a lot of the similarities. It's almost like they're the parents of the Big Bash, the two sports.
Look, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's almost a cloning of the sport. You mentioning the strike zone as against the batting zone, it's designed for attractiveness. It's designed as a batter's game. People really don't care about how many wickets they're taking. As long as they're seeing sixes and fours hit, everyone's happy, and so be it. You know, it's grabbed the attention of the family, which is what it's designed to do. It's in one way, it's absolutely lovely to see parents there with their little kids all made up with makeup and colour and all that. So for what it is meant to be, it's very, very successful.
Oh, absolutely, and the crowds are phenomenal. You know, 46,000 on a regular basis, it's just incredible. But one thing that they've managed to get as an entertainment package is the amount of time it takes to play the game. Whereas I think with the sport of baseball, in the olden days, in the 1970s and earlier, a nine-inning game would last somewhere in the vicinity of 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Whereas today, a baseball game tends to last 3.5 hours. Whereas in the form of cricket, as in 2020, they're bringing the time down. So they're going in opposite directions.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the reasons that the crowds are there as against the one-day game, as against the Test match Sheffield Shield format, in that people haven't got 6 hours to spare sitting at a cricket ground, whereas they can find 2.5 hours quite acceptable, get lots of fun and enjoyment out of it. And so it's been created for a market very successfully.
Absolutely. And you touched on a point with me off air in regards to the commentators for the Big Bash, and you liken it to the X Factor, where they had the stars that sort of judge the panellists. And in the Big Bash, you had the former stars like Mark Waugh and Gilchrist and all these types of people are coming on board, and they're not so much commentating as sort of going through telling yarns.
Well, absolutely. And I think Freddie Flintoff is the absolute pinnacle of example of that, in that I was speaking to an Englishman the other day who said, gee, in England, you know, Freddie Flintoff is just another person, whereas they've marketed him over here in an amazingly successful way. He is very funny, and really the banter between, putting it in the parallel with the X Factor, the three commentators as against the three judges, the banter is about themselves, about their past history, and there's very, very rarely much reference given to actually what's going on out in the middle. That it's almost as if the stars of the commentary are as big as stars, if not bigger, than the people out there playing.
Well, I suppose it's all part of the formula, because, you know, visually, Big Bash is sort of grabs the people that watch it, so I suppose they're trying to add something extra rather than boring them with such and such hit a six and such took a catch. I mean, they all tell that in their replays, but I suppose they're just trying to value add to it.
Oh, absolutely true. And it was interesting to contrast the style of the Big Bash as against going back and watching the One Day 50 game between Australia and India the other night, where you went back to the old formula that the game was far more important than the three commentators, and the commentators were discussing the game all the time and what was going on. They're just poles apart. I think you can say 50 over cricket and first class cricket, 4 or 5 day cricket, is cricket, and the Big Bash is Big Bash.
Now, of course, there's other sports going on at the moment. I mean, just last week we had the Open A-grade Women's Softball Championships, National Championships over in Sydney, and South Australia was sort of gunning for their first title and since 1956, and their second overall. An interesting statistic is that none of the players from South Australia were born when South Australia last won, and most of their parents weren't either.
Gee whiz, that's amazing.
It is. And another amazing statistic is that there were three rainouts, well, four actually, but three full-day rainouts on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So they're cramming in the games on the Thursday, Friday, so that they could have the playoffs and grand final on the Saturday. And at one stage, South Australia was scheduled to play at 10 p.m. on the Thursday night and at 12 midnight. Unbelievable. I've never heard of that.
It is quite remarkable. Certainly in a team sport. I know that they do play tennis into the middle of the night on occasions. I'm not sure that they've ever started a tennis match at midnight. I think they have started some at 9, 10 o'clock, but I've never heard of that.
No, I've never heard of it. As it ended up, they ended up playing a 9 p.m. game, and then the next game they played the first thing in the morning, so they... Common sense prevailed in that case, I would suggest.
Yes, sounds like it did.
Obviously, they're playing, you know, to get the championship over rather than playing to a crowd.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the other thing that in today's world you would have to seriously look at whether there was an occupational health and safety issue in trying to play as many games in a shorter space of time and at the oddest hours of the night. It's probably just as well that no one got injured or... something like that.
No, it was all good, but South Australia, in fact, made the semi-finals, and interestingly enough, New South Wales, who were the reigning champions, South Australia actually beat them in extra innings, and it's the first time that they've beaten New South Wales for a number of years, so I suppose one big scalp was fantastic, but unfortunately in the knockout semi they lost to the ACT after being 2-0 up. In the last at-bat, they made a couple of errors and the ACT scored 3 runs to win, so that knocked them out.
Oh, dear me. It sounds like about Port of the 2006s when they got the reputation of being chokers.
Not quite, but something interesting is the fact that a lot of the national championships have been played in Sydney at Blacktown since the Olympics. More than half of the games are played over there for the Gillies Shield, which is the award that they win for winning the championship. South Australia have only had part games, part series played in Adelaide, but now with the new West Beach facility, they're probably in a good position to put their hand up to host the championships either next year or the year after.
Oh, that'd be good. Good for the state, good for the sport as well.
Absolutely. And another sport which has come into the headlines a little bit lately is the Adelaide United Soccer Club. Now, after something like six games, Adam won and they were bottom and everyone was writing them off, and they got on a bit of a streak and won a few games, and amazingly they're in the top six, which is miraculous, and they've got the momentum.
Well, it's a fascinating game, football or soccer as we call it, that with a change of coach and there are so many methodologies and strategies used on a soccer pitch that no matter what sort of squad you've got, until they get used to the program that the new coach has, they struggle for a while, and it would almost seem as if they have taken six or so games to work out what they're meant to be doing, and then success comes.
And of course, currently we've got the tour down under to look forward to next week, and it'll be visiting on the Tuesday Williamstown and Lindock and Cockatoo Valley.
Yes, look forward to it. It's a very colourful spectacle, and it also does wonders for the state with the television coverage, and particularly in our area, the Barossa Valley, which is always good publicity, and the Flerio, good free publicity.
It is, and of course, Jack Bowbridge, who just recently, the other week ago, won his the road trial, the national road trial, and his next door neighbours, Callum and Miles Scottson, they got the junior road trial. Callum won it from Miles, and Miles is the older brother. But can you imagine that? Three lads that live next to each other on the big stage for cycling.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful story, actually. It probably deserves more coverage and being highlighted than it's received so far, because it just doesn't happen. It's a sort of fairy tale thing, isn't it?
Well, Callum and Miles, they were in the BMX racing up here at Williston for many years, and I suppose seeing the success that Jack had probably inspired them, and they admitted themselves that he was a bit of an inspiration. But what they have done is absolutely outstanding. They've represented Australia in some of the junior leagues and the seniors, and three top-class cyclists living next door to each other. Unbelievable.
It is, and I think it only goes to show that young people need role models and to fixate on wanting to achieve things themselves, and it doesn't matter whether it's cycling, baseball, cricket, ping pong. If you're fortunate enough to have someone down the street, next door, whatever, setting some standards that you think you might like to achieve, it's a wonderful way to sort of reach for the stars.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many other Gawler riders that have achieved anything near what they have.
No.
Well, that's all for this edition. The Rick and Rob Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Rick Drewer.